Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Gentle Intensity Radio with Shaheen Jedian, the magical mentor and author of Divine Prescription for Life bestseller, co-host with Chicken Soup for the Soul, 500 million bestseller, and creative collaborator of Glee Hugo and Spider-Man. On air now, as Shaheen Jedian takes you on a hot journey of spirit and heart healing, breaking through the deepest fears while unleashing your life's meaning and purpose. With his gentle intensity touch, unlock your future now with the greatest speakers as you walk out of your tight spots in life and come to fruition. Red hot takes and honest opinions on ancient wisdom for modern times with the greatest meaningful celeb show on earth. Let's welcome Shaheen Jedian and his guest today.
Okay, so this is like a rare one. We're doing like at 6 p.m. because we have a special guest that can only appear at 6 p.m. So I actually made some changes for her. So it's super exciting. We have Tamara with us. And today I want to talk about defenses that keep old wounds alive. So if you have a mechanism inside you that's defensive at any capacity or reactive, what happens is when you deal with people, those old wounds are just going to have to come up in order for you to heal it and go through with it. So I want you to think of something. Take a deep breath in and think of something that you just are defensive about. You know if that topic comes up, boom, you're going to be defensive. Your flash is going to go on, your lights go on, boom. Something inside you gets red, a certain part of your body turns colors. You know something's about to come. So I want you to locate that just for a second. And take a deep breath in. Good. And I want to congratulate you for having that. Really, the first step is saying to yourself, wow, I found it. So congratulations on having defense. You are defensive in some areas in your life. As long as you're alive, you have that. And if you are, then, and you've located it right now, you could take a deep breath in, and the greatest thing you could notice about that is that, hey, the opposite of perfect is human. I can deal with this defense, but more importantly, I get to be the one that chooses what to do with it. I get to be the one that I can notice and observe this defensiveness. And I get to be the one that I can interact with people, let it come up, and yet not necessarily take it out on them, but really heal it through myself, realizing that perception is projection. So defenses keep old wounds alive until you heal them. And the process can be difficult sometimes because we have an easy time projecting it onto others. We have an easy time escaping the fact that perception is projection, and we wait for things to happen and say, this guy did it to me, become a victim. And it becomes this, this challenge. So a couple of important notes. First of all, that defense mechanisms protect you from anything that is too much. So that's, something to just know about it. Like too much fear, too much pain, too much grief, too much stress, too much love, too much joy, too much creativity, too much God. And so one of my teachers once said, man defends himself against fear because he defends himself against God. I'm going to say that again, man or woman defends himself against fear because he defends himself against God. When you say yes to God, fear will exit. And when I say God, I mean that joy of ultimate being inside your inner God. So bring that God right into your being. That's what I'm talking about. Good. Wow, you did it. I like that. I like you a lot. Now, so as I said, defense mechanisms are the ego. And ego is not a bad thing. It's here to help assist us, the opponent. It's helping us to become more of a real self. And that by itself is so powerful, just to notice that. And so I have with us Tamara, and I was wondering if I can actually ask Tamara, as I bring her on the line in a second, to share with us maybe one of the times in her life where she felt a bit defensive or some story, and how she resolved it, and then share some of her messages with us about hope and maybe some of her journey. She has a unique journey. I'm going to let her talk to you about it herself. And let me see if I can connect you. Tamara, I'm about to connect you. Woohoo! We're excited about to connect you. You're on 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yay! Today we have a successful feeling that we can connect well under the rain. That's good. Yes. So I'm so glad to be with you, Tamara. And I wanted to see if you could share with us a little bit about your life story, because I know you have a very unique, interesting life story, especially in terms of some of the stuff that you've told me in advance. But I want to make sure I ask you to share it yourself, because I don't know what you want to share exactly. So I'm just going to leave it open for you.
Oh, goodness. Where to start, really? Well, let's start with childhood.
Okay.
So defensiveness and things like that, I would say, would stem from both parents.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense, as growing up, I had a dominant father who was very harsh.
Mm-hmm.
Also mind controlling with fear, and the way that I would say mentally abusive, not so much physical, but mentally abusive. And then with a mother who was submissive to my father and really didn't have much control of anything, but it took her a while to break away from that. And then the other part with my mother is with religion. So growing up with a father who is mentally abusive, it was very, very tough. You know, you can never please a person that way, and nobody should. You know, we're here to all learn lessons in life, and I think it took me, 39 years of my life to come to terms with that, and just bring peace with myself, not with just my father, but with myself. Because my dad has, you know, pretty much told me a lot of hurtful things. And then finally, it's just like something within me just, you know, why am I holding on to that? Why am I still trying to please someone that's not even, doesn't even have anything to do with me even today? Or, you know, or his grandchildren. And when I finally come to face with that, I pretty much started to understand my father's mentality, the way he was. I kind of got a sense of a background of how he was brought up to understand his behaviors. And then I pretty much let it go, because a lot of his problems and the way he was treating me, my brother and my mother, was pretty much mostly all his problems. And come to term with that. And then finally, when I spoke to my dad about 4 years ago, and I told, you know, I pretty much told him, I said, you know, you are your own person. The things that happen between us, you know, that was the past. I pretty much looked towards the future. My dad, you know, told me, because when I was going through my divorce, he says the past has a way of repeating itself. I said, no. I said, not necessarily. My divorce and your divorce are two completely different things. He chooses to hold on to, you know, the old wounds that he has, and I choose not to. So when I came through another part of my life, when I was married for 14 years, and then started seeing another pattern with my ex-spouse, and how it was bringing me down and my children. It was a step, another lesson to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally I went through the divorce. It was hard, but I started to realize that I am in control of how I choose to be and how I choose to react to things.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my ex, we get along a hell of a lot better than we ever did our last 5 years of marriage. We are more like friends, and we help each other still, when we ever, either one of us needs anything. And it also brought peace between the kids, because the kids are not going through the same kind of divorce that my ex went through with his parents and my own. And we didn't want that for our kids. And I also see a change in him that he's trying to fix himself. And for him to come to me and told me how much he admired my strength and how to move on was really amazing that he came to that. But I didn't have to tell him anything. He started seeing that for himself.
Wow.
And I started seeing that for myself. He is right. And I see other people who are just constantly depressed, down on their luck. You see it a lot with our children, especially teenage kids, and their fears and everything else. But the thing is we hold on to that fear, and for what? Because, I was listening to a friend of mine's show, and one of his guests mentioned pretty much almost the same thing. We give away our power so much to everything around us, and society plays a big role in that too. And a lot of us are focused too much on electronics, gadgets, things like that, when we don't realize what we're really here for. And then the types of music we listen to, because I mean, my favorite music was heavy metal, death metal, rap, dance. And when you really start to sit there and listen to the lyrics, what is those lyrics really saying? Is that the kind of person that we really are? No, we're not. So why are we following such things?
Mm-hmm.
And the more and more I see myself, I'm changing a lot more. And my kids see that. They see a difference between me and their father. But I also want to teach them, the things that we go through in life, we're going to have our ups and we're going to have our downs. And we are the only ones that can make that choice of where we stay at. And I have a friend who is struggling the same thing with her daughter. Her daughter suffers severe anxiety and depression. And now I see her daughter all of a sudden is having severe migraines for her age. And it's like everything's hitting her at once. But the only thing I can do is advise. Only that person themselves have to get themselves out of that, because I think a lot of times we make ourselves an emotional wreck. We start looking for everything else to fill the void, when we ourselves need to fill our own void. My friend Michael said, we are all rich, but until we keep desiring more and more and more and more of the things that we really don't need, then we lose what richness we have, and then we start creating debt all around us. We start creating all the human emotions of sadness, anger, hate, grief, and for what? And I started looking around. The other thing I started noticing is my house. I'm like, wow, I got a lot of stuff. I can't even park my car in the garage. And you look around, it's like, wow, I got so much stuff in here I don't even do anything with. Why did I even bother getting that? And I'm like, huh. Because at the time I was looking for something to replace the void in my life. And what does those things really do? They don't really replace anything. It's just a substitute until we start looking again for something else. When really everything is within our reach, within our own power. And I'm like, wow, I started getting myself out of debt. I started eliminating unnecessary things. I'm starting to get my health back on track. And it's just been one adventure after another. And then when I look back, I'm like, wow, I've been through a lot of crap, but I've also came ahead and learned from all the things I've went through. And I'm like, wow, if I can do that, anybody, so can anybody else. But it all comes from us. And we only have that power to cater to ourselves. You know, as young children, we depend on our parents to help us move on in life. And what I see in my kids' school, a lot of parents don't have that connection with their own children. Mm-hmm. And the children are left to their own devices. And I see the struggles and stuff. And then I see the children, how they hate themselves already from the beginning. Because there's no love, no... You don't see enough nurturing and love anymore because the parents are too busy dealing with their own problems as well. And, you know, I taught my kids and I'm still teaching them. I said, you're not going to go through life without making mistakes. You will make mistakes. But I said, when you're on your low point, always remember the choices that you make. You can either accept that mistake you made and move on and learn from it, or be stuck in that rut and never get out of it. And you never fulfill what you really are looking for. And then I was reading a book, and it was funny because it talked about the stages of years. And one of it mentioned at the age of 10, a child's sense is turned into learning. So if you look at children from the time they're born to about age 10, they're learning everything from their parents. They're mimicking pretty much everything. So if you have a parent that is an alcoholic and abuses, the child is growing up with those that learning the way that they see their parents do things. And then you have a household where the child is neglected by one parent and the other parent shows a lot more love and understanding. So that's pretty much your stages right there from being born to age 10 is a learning experience for children. And by the age of 20, a person embraces their power and their ability. So by the time you're 20 and you've already started learning things, now you're creating your own abilities. You see, wow, I can start doing this. And by the time you're 18, I can go this. I can drive. I can go here. I can go there. I got me a job. I'm beginning everything. I have an ability. Now I can do what I want. And so you go through that whole process from 10 to 20, and then from 20 to 30, Now we're in an area where we're thinking and looking at our actions of the things that we do. So now your thinking process is now, you know, now you're thinking a lot more, and then you take action for the things that you do. And then by the time we're in our 40s, we are starting to leave our doubts regarding truth and the knowledge behind the truth. So now we're in a stage of really seeking truth. And, you know, I'm in my 40s now, and I'm like, wow, I'm starting to see from the time I was little to the time I am now of where I'm at, and now I'm always looking for what's true. I research, I read, I start thinking of things, and I start focusing, wow, of all the knowledge and the truth that I'm starting to learn, not only about the outside, but of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then he mentions about a person by the time we're 50, life's necessary creational natural laws and recommendations, and then we start following them. And then by the time we're 60, we're open to our consciousness and we're looking more for truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time we're 70 and older, we accede to our wishes without ever overstepping the limits of that which is right and decent. So it's funny because I see that. I see that with those people that are in their 70s, 80s. I see a big difference from the time I was 18, from the time I was 10, 25, 30. And I'm sitting there and I start observing people and I see a difference and I'm like, oh my goodness. And the author that I was reading that information on, I was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. And it seems a lot truer to me that I understand the stages because now I'm observing it with my own children and the processes and stages that they're learning, because I remember when they were born to the time they were toddlers, to the time they were 5, and by the time they reached 10, how their mentalities are to versus what their mentality is now. And I'm like, wow, it's fascinating. And, you know, it's like I said, I mean, we all go through whatever that we need to learn in life, but we definitely need to really look, take a really good look at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I see, and I watch the news and things, I see so many people pointing a finger at everybody, at everything, and it's their fault. We need to do this. We need to do. I'm like, wait a minute, who's we? We don't need to do anything. You need to start changing your focus and start thinking about what is healthier for you, your mentality and your things. But if we get too caught up in the world and everything that's going on, we start losing focus of truth, truth of our abilities, truth about ourselves. And then we start getting into what my friend's favorite word is, phantasmagoria. Then we start believing in the falseness. Mm-hmm. And that's when we start looking at other things to fill the void when it's been there all the time, us, ourselves. We are capable to do so much. We are very intelligent creatures. But we also can be our own downfall. And that's what I've been learning.
I love what you're saying about that. I love the stages that you were sharing. I think it's so powerful because so many times people could be going through something and they don't know what stage they're in, and it creates a, you know, the awareness of knowing where you are can really help so much to be able to work through it and be present with it. So that's a beautiful thing that you're sharing with us throughout, along with your story and the vulnerable pieces of sharing yourself. I really appreciate you being so authentic and sharing in a way that others can relate. And that by itself, I think, is so powerful because it gives everyone else the power to feel more authentic and real and comfortable with themselves to be able to share more. having that we only have another like 3 minutes, I want to I want to give people the ability to be able to you know, speak with you directly if they want to. So what would be a good way to reach you if someone wants to connect with you, Tamara? What would be the format?
If they want to reach out to me, it'd be preferably through email.
Okay.
Because, you know, I do work, you know, Monday through Friday, you know, which it took me a while to get that type of hours, you know, and then have my weekends free, but at least through email I can quickly respond a little bit faster, you know, than I can by phone.
Okay. Would you like to give your email?
My email is J-A-Z M as in Mike, E, U as in uniform, P as in Papa, 04 at Yahoo.
Okay, great. And if I get also responses towards me that when people want to talk with you, I can also create a WhatsApp group, just, you know, where you can chat with us along that group. So that would be easier too.
Okay.
Great. So this was great share. I really appreciate you. And I think you have a lot more to share. So I'm going to let everyone know that I'm going to bring Tamara again, hopefully next month or, you know, another time. I think it's going to be great. Would you like to come? I think you would. I would love to have you. So, yeah, I'm really excited about all that you have to share. I think this is just the beginning, because I know you have a lot of voice. And I've always watched you in the past couple of years with your voice. And so this is a great opportunity to voice, you know, what you have in your voice, basically. I want to say a few things that may relate to the stress of getting in the way of the voice. And like I said, stress is an invitation to change something. So, you know, someone once came to me and said, what seems to be the problem, right? I mean, I asked, what seems to be the problem? And then he said, life. I said, is that all? He yes, he said. I said, can you be more precise or specific? No, he said, it's just a severe case of life. And so then I said, do you feel stressed? And then he said, I don't get stressed. And
sometimes, here's, you know, my input on stress real quick. Stress and what I feel or what I believe stress really means is fear. I am so stressed out, I can't handle it no more. Why? Because I'm afraid to proceed to doing what I need to do, or I am stressed because I can't do this work and I don't know about how to go about doing it. So that's how I see stress. Oh, I'm so stressed out.
Okay.
Well, stressed because I don't want to do it. That's another thing. You don't want to tackle that item. So that's how I see stress. Stress is a form of fear that we create because it's something we're neglecting to do or not want to do. Yeah.
Great way to look at it. Well, thank you for that nugget of powerful information. We're coming to the completion of our talk. Thank you again, Tamara, for being on the show, and thank you for all the listeners on there. I really appreciate everyone tuning in at this point. And the replay of this show will be available in a few minutes. So for those of you who missed the parts of it or want to listen to it again, you can do that. And if once again, my name is Shaheen Jedion, author of Divine Prescription for Life. You can reach more of the teachings that I have on facebook.com/iRealSelf, facebook.com/iRealSelf. God bless. Have an amazing day, an amazing week, and a wonderful spring to come. God bless you all. Bye-bye. Thank you, Tamara.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Bye.